The opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and are not those of WEZS or its sponsors.
The conversation continues. Prime time at 9. From Studio A in downtown Laconia, this is the Advocates Daily. Now, here's Neil Young.
My guest on the other line is Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Well, it's raining up here in this part of New Hampshire. So.
Yes, it is here, too.
Oh, well, then it's all right. As long as you're hurting as much as I am.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just sit back and watch the grass grow today.
Yeah. Oh, we did need the rain.
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody tells me, but I need it at night while I'm sleeping. I have to start delivering the Weird Signs later today, so...
Oh,
yeah, I got my raincoat with me, and I'm ready. But, Jane, you were with us last Saturday, and we were talking about the International Baccalaureate. But anyway, in the meantime, you've submitted a letter to Joe McQuaid, the union leader.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask Joe, you know, who edits some of these editorials that are unsigned and who watches for accuracy and so forth, because sometimes... I wonder how anyone could make such a fool of themselves with so many glaring errors. I first wanted to, before I talk about that, I wanted to start off by saying that Jeffrey Beard, the Director General of IBO, actually wrote a letter in the Concord Monitor to promote this program, you know, to show support and to show his opposition to HB 1403, which, of course, is the bill that passed the House 2-1 that would investigate this program. But I also want you to know that the IB people follow our school board elections, our local school board elections, because I see them twittering about it. And it's really creepy to me that the United Nations is trying to involve themselves, you know, that they care about our local school board elections. To me, that's a little bit creepy. But anyway, back to the union leader. There was a union leader editorial, unsigned, I have an idea who wrote it. It was very snarky, and it had three glaring mistakes. So I say, if you're going to be snarky, you better get your information correct. You know, he starts off by saying it must be a commie plot. Well, heck, you know, some people might even think that. But he said that we're a small group of conspiracy theorists. We're a small but vocal minority. We're not so small because the parents are finding out about this program, and the more they see about it, the more they hate it because it puts a rubber stamp on the political bias that's already existing in the school. It kind of rubber stamps it because here's a school paying for this. I mean, they're actually paying the United Nations for the privilege of coming in and brainwashing the kids. But anyway... He talked about the jurisdiction, and he said we made it up, you know, we made up the fact that it's under the Swiss court simply because it's called a world school. Well, not true. I mean, I can cite, and as you saw in my letter to Joe McQuaid, I cited the chapter and verse where it says right in their documents that the school and everything to do with it comes under the Swiss law. It comes under Swiss jurisdiction. And, of course, everything we do, all the information we get, is directly from their documents. And the other glaring error, or one of the other glaring errors, was that he said it was only in two schools. New Hampton, I guess, up near you,
right,
is a private school, and nobody cares what they do. Bedford is only a high school, optional program. However, it does, and I'll talk about this later, it does affect the AP. Because the IB, right from their own documents, says they want to affect the rest of the school and the whole community. They want the whole community's mindset to change to become global citizens. So the AP courses, of which there are fewer, are sometimes the same courses as the IB. And so they, you know, they said that that it was only in those two schools. But Merrimack Valley is the real problem, and this is where the parents came to our group and came to us and asked us what we could do about it, and that's why we went to the House of Representatives. That school has, what, 8 or 10? That district has about 8 or 10 schools in it. So starting with the elementary, the primary years program, and the middle years program, they're working their way up to the high school. and it's fully involved. 3 years it had been fully involved. Parents didn't know. They just kind of saw some odd things happening, didn't know how to explain it, found out about IB, questioned it, and were treated poorly. I mean, one of the big things they brag about with IB is, oh, we're supposed to have all this kumbaya love and tolerance, but watch out. You go to your school board, and these same people will make fun of you, bully you. This one person that writes to me tells me that school board members and teachers were making fun of her and calling her names in public meetings, talking about her children, which is very unethical. When you're a teacher, you're supposed to have confidentiality. You don't talk to other parents about the children and so on and so forth. So a lot of this bullying stuff is going on. I mean, they actually have strategies. I actually saw a letter with a strategy in it, what to do about the material I had been sending them since 2009. I've been arguing with school board member Laurie Carey about this since 2009. And the school board got a letter, and they said that I was one of the people standing at the banana stand and how to deal with it. You know, you tell the parents, oh, you're the only one, you're not trusting, you know, these people are crazy. It almost reminds me of a cult, the way they do this. But the biggest, I think, insult from the Union Leader editorial was was saying that we have a fear of foreigners. This is utterly ridiculous. We have a wonderful white paper that was written on this program using all of the documents from the group, and the woman who wrote it is a Japanese-American. So we're just Americans, you know, of different nationality, different descent from different nationalities. And this lady happens to be an American of Japanese descent. So it's not that we have a fear of foreigners or a fear of learning foreign languages. We do object to the political activism component of this program. It puts the rubber stamp on all of these issues globally. 9-year-olds can't understand about trying to petition the government for more money to send it over for foreign aid, but that's the solution. It's everything in the UN's idea of what they want to, you know, get done for the millennium, their millennium development goals, and it's all about social justice. If you keep that phrase in mind, that sums up the whole program.
Social injustice.
Right.
At some point in all of our lives, we may feel that we've been affected by this, but I don't think it brings my world to an end. What it does is, I'll try to make it better. But if I could... What gets me is this, he said it was a lovely event until Principal Ronald Mayotte devolved into a diatribe thrashing the opponents of House Bill 1403 as a vocal minority who were calling the IBO a communist plot. Well, what is wrong with it? You know what I think? Some of these people are on the verge of losing their marbles.
Well, because you see, this is my point to Joe McQuaid. A grandparent wrote to me, what you were quoting from, an email from a grandparent, he had attended an induction ceremony of the World Language Honor Society at Central High. This is not connected to the IB, it's just a language, program. I mean, nobody's complained about that. And he said the event was lovely until the principal started using what he had read in that erroneous editorial. And I said to Joe McQuaid, you've got to be careful because you're a newspaper. People read it in the paper, and therefore they believe it. So we're not a vocal minority, and we didn't say it was a communist plot. We just said it's sanctioned political action. Put the rubber stamp on the things that have been going on in schools anyway. I mean, that's how I got active. In 2004, when they were building the high school in Bedford, I used to joke about it. It was a very contentious issue. We didn't want the high school. They pushed it in. That's a whole other story. But I used to joke and say, the UN will be running it, never knowing there was an actual program, you know, that came out of the UN that they actually sell to people. I said that because in my 35 years, I watched things change over from focus on academics and skills and real learning and direct instruction to all this collectivism stuff and this social engineering. So, you know, I told Joe McQuaid, I said, you know, when somebody can quote like that based on wrong assumptions, that's pretty bad. And I can only guess that he got those words of exaggeration directly from that editorial. that was titled The IB Scare, Fear of Foreigners. I mean, that was a big insult. I consider myself to be the progeny of foreigners. My family came from Italy. My parents were bilingual. So I'm not against immigrants and foreigners. It has nothing to do with that. I really took an insult. You know, that was an insult to me.
Well, you've been productive since your family. That's all I ever ask of anybody coming to what is right now my country until you come and make it your country too. But let's all live by the same rules. And one of them is you come in and you be of good character. You have employment and you have somebody who sponsored you. So while you're adapting to what we do around here in this country, which now is changing anyway because we got a president who wants to turn us into a welfare and socialist state, I have no problem. And I'll tell you, Chinese and Pakistanis and folks from India, don't you notice that they make great doctors?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, immigrants have contributed a lot. And as you said, my grandparents came here when they were in their early 20s, went to work in the mills and started a little business. They were avid, well, they attempted to read the newspaper. They never really mastered English that well, but they watched television, read the newspapers, became active. And they had four children, my mother and her three sisters. They never once asked the school to provide instruction in the Italian language. It was always, you go to school, you learn English, you're in America now. And, you know, that turned out quite nicely. And I have had relatives come over a lot more recently than that, and they've had a job waiting for them and a sponsor and a place to live. And it's worked out well. In fact, one of those very recent immigrants has three sons, two of whom are doctors. So
I rush my case.
Yeah. I mean, my cousin's wife, she was like a stormtrooper. When those kids got home, it was the homework. She today speaks with a very thick accent. You might have trouble understanding her. But she made sure that her sons did right by their schoolwork and it was a very good thing, and I'm very proud of my family and what they've accomplished here in this country. So I don't like this fear, this blanket accusation that this is some kind of xenophobic complaint about the IB. It's ridiculous. I mean, right here from their file, best basis for practice, which, by the way, all these documents you can find on the website, MVSD, that stands for Merrimack Valley School District, -ib.org, and that's a website the parents put up so that they could dissect the pieces one at a time for people that don't understand this. Anyway, from this document, it says, as well as presenting schools with a philosophical perspective on what international education may be, the primary years program prescribes a curriculum framework of essential elements. Besides knowledge, concepts, and skills, the last two are attitudes and action. So the kids are getting checked for their attitudes every other week that they feel is part of the mission statement to create international-minded children, or internationally minded. I don't even know if there is such a word. I think they made it up. But you know, you can find all this stuff right at IBO.org as well, which is the IB's own website. Don't take my word for it. You know, I noticed that your sidekick, Ken Gorell, really was up on this stuff. He must have gone there and read about it, and he knew all about it. So anyone else can do it. And if they still deny what it's about after that, then they're being disingenuous. They must like it. And if they like it, what would they say if we came in with, you know, a program, let's say, from Diane Gilbert's Center for Constitutional Studies,
mm-hmm.
or Eddie Eagle from the NRA? What would they say about that? Would they say that was a political agenda? And would we be allowed to have our kids exposed to that? So I say, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They happen to like the left-wing bias, and we don't. So who wins? We say there shouldn't be any political bias in teaching children. It shouldn't be about social engineering. The classes should be about learning and not just, you know, I'm going to watch how your child blends with the consensus. This is part of this collectivist theory of learning where they have to do a lot of collaborative projects without the teacher's guidance. They watch for social interaction more than anything else. It's all about going along with the crowd and accepting the consensus.
Well, we want world peace. You notice how this political correctness and, oh, we all get along and all that for the last 20 to 30 years. Things are pretty good around the world, right? There's no war going on.
Well, I don't know. We have some conflicts going on that our current president got us involved in. But I noticed that, you know, the UN is all talking about peace, but usually they're the ones that are the first ones to show up when there is a war.
I didn't know that we were so interested in having the UN run this country. But I've noticed recently that that seems to be the case. I need to take a break now, and then we will be right back. Some folks have been trying to get through. We'll get them in here on topic. If they don't want to talk about this topic, I suggest they wait until
tomorrow. Well, I'd love to answer some questions. I really would.
Okay. And Diane Gilbert and I and her husband, Paul, I'll take them any day to teach us, my children or my grandchildren, about the Constitution.
Me too.
All right. We'll be right back with Jane. Okay, we do have a call, and we have our Jane Aitken online with us. She does have a real last name, but you're fondly known by your friends, Jane, as Webmaster Jane.
Oh, really? Webmistress, actually. Well, that's Jane Aitken. It's A-I-T-K-E-N, and you can probably contact me by adding on the domain name of most any of the Republican committees around here, but I do also webmaster the CNHT website.
Yes, you do. Well, we do have a call, actually.
All right.
And the call's coming out of New Jersey, but it will be a brilliant question. I know.
Good morning.
Hello, caller, you're on.
Good morning.
It is.
Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good. It's John in New Jersey. We've spoken before.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that this whole educational program is just a subset of Mr. Obama's entire program to get us ruled by the UN? Because it seems that Mr. Obama has sort of a dead man system where if he doesn't get reelected, he plans on signing a lot of orders which will subject us to the United Nations.
Well, you know, John, you may not be happy about hearing this, what I'm going to say, but it isn't just Obama. He's one of the useful idiots, but we have had this going on for so long now. I don't know if you've ever heard of the author Charlotte Isherbeat. Charlotte Isherbeat came out of she's from a very elite family. Her father was a Yale bonesman. She was put in the Department of Education during the Reagan administration. She got fired for blowing the whistle. They have been merging the education system with the Soviets for years, and this happened under the Reagan administration. She wrote a book. It's called Deliberate Dumbing Down. It's a giant 4-inch thick tome. You can download the whole thing right on her website, Deliberate Dumbing Down. But this has been going on for a long time. I don't really think that, frankly, I think a lot of the Republicans that get elected today are controlled by the same people. And I notice that the Republicans locally, some of them understand about this, but others just think, oh, it's for education, and they don't want to be looked at as being against education. But no, it isn't just Obama. Yes, he's accelerating it a lot faster because he really is a very good, useful idiot for these people, and he really is serving the interests of the globalists. But I think it won't be any different with, Mr. Romney, if he should become the president. So it's just, but you're right, it's we're giving up a lot of our sovereignty to international non-government organizations. The schools are being run by consultants, and that's kind of a little microcosm of what our government is being run by. I mean, how effective is our Congress when the president can just sign a presidential directive saying he's going to sign this treaty or that treaty with other countries when it never comes to a vote? I don't know. I just wonder. This is really to grab the kids at an early age. That's the best weapon they have better than any missile, because they can come in, get the kids young, and get them to believe that they are all one world, you know, and the highest authority is the United Nations. And that's really the point of it. They will deny it, but it's true.
So this is really becoming another one of it's for the kids things.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the GOP, I hear crickets about it. I'll say to my own GOP group, you know, why aren't you people, I actually have people in my own GOP group fighting me on it and calling me crazy. I don't think they understand that it's a very powerful tool to be able to have those children's minds. And, of course, knowing that all these years that I taught, I would never, never, for example, dare to ever mention to my students that their parents should go home and call the school committee and make sure my contract was passed or anything like that. That would be totally unethical. No electioneering should be going on in the schools. Of course, we had the Bedford High School people telling the kids they could have a day off if they went up and opposed HB 1403. So, you know, I think we've gone past the point, past a turning point, and there's almost no turning back. But I think that people, I mean, I fight this because I think people should know what's been going on in the schools. And I started teaching right out of college. I was barely 21. Started in 1970, and I watched this progress. There were times when people became frustrated with the methods because they're not really effective for teaching, and so common sense would prevail, and we'd go back to, you know, actually teaching academics and skills and so forth. And then we would always be overrun by some federal mandate or some program that came down from who knows where, and it just kind of reeked of the UN to me. And that's what I got, how I got involved.
All right, I have a letter here, John and Jane. John and Jane, okay. rhymes, doesn't it? Anyway, a letter from, and I know this person, he's well-educated. But he said, and he usually agrees with everything that's going on the program, but today he says he has a one child graduated New Hampton and the other one is a junior right now. He thinks he writes me here that his experience with IB has been generally positive. Obviously, I'm not thrilled with the indoctrination of the religion of global warming. However, I don't think saving the environment is a bad idea. They just don't destroy our economy doing it. But he says, what I like about IB is that math, English, and history, it is very traditional, especially with math and English. And he says, overall, he believes his son received a very good education. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, you know, each school does things differently. I don't know whether they just bought the brand so that it could attract people to the school, because it sounds very, well, as one of our school board members put it, it has a certain cachet. Yeah, she really actually said that it has a certain cachet about it, you know, international baccalaureate.
Uh-huh.
The school that his son attends or his children attend could be using this in a very limited way. I have nothing against teaching the children how to recycle and, you know, how to be not wasteful and that sort of thing. I'm not somebody that believes in polluting the earth. I'm a bird watcher. I'm an animal lover. I believe in, you know, I don't even put chemical fertilizer on my lawn. I think that all of that's pretty good. I just don't like, as he said, the religion of global warming. It shouldn't be used as a political tool to get people to do something else that, you know, they might not otherwise do. You know, global warming, you know, one of the heroes of the IBO is Peter Singer, and he's a eugenist who thinks people are no more entitled to live on the planet than slugs. And you just have to hope that local people are good enough not to make this rub off on the kids. So maybe New Hampton is doing this in a very traditional way. But I say in the public school, if you're doing traditional English, traditional math, and you're giving the kids all the skills and academics they need, what are you buying from the IB? I don't get this question's never answered to me. What is it that you are buying that is the value added of this program? And no one can really tell me. Lori Carey, in her emails to me in 2009, she's a school board member, Merrimack Valley School District, said it's to compete in the global economy. It really isn't, because to compete in the global economy, you need the same skills as you need to compete any place. You need to know your math, you need to know your languages, you need to know how to write. Competing in the global economy does not mean you have to change your values. And a lot of IB is a values clarification type program that gets the kids to think less of their country in a nationalistic way. And there's nothing wrong with wanting national sovereignty, you know, borders, language, and culture.
All right, we're down about 2 minutes. John, do you have a quick comment, and then I'll go with Jane.
I only have one comment for you. To leave you is, now that you have Sandy and Lynn, are you going to write a children's book?
Okay. Sandy and Lynn now would be our two prominent loony lefties from Belknap County up here in New Hampshire, and of course then we have our other resident out of Tilton, Lakeport. All right, but I think that's a children's book. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, John, thank you. I'll talk with you soon.
Thank you.
All right, he's gone. Okay, now, Jane, about 60 seconds, if you want.
Well, you know, you have to look at what your school is doing. You have to look at what they're teaching the kids and how they're teaching and how your child is responding. And just watch what comes home and you know, give them a strong values framework at home. That's the best thing I can say for anyone to do to combat anything untoward that might be going on in the schools.
No, they can teach the children, but the parents have the final say. I don't want them teaching them how to think politically or globally.
Right.
Well, the parents do that part. Do teaching. That's what we pay you for.
Absolutely.
Well, all right, Jane, this has been great. I hope you'll join me again soon.
Anytime.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind.
Thank
I have the
you.
Fire chief tomorrow. He probably doesn't want to talk about IB. All right, talk to you soon.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Okay, my friend.